Why are you monitoring? Good or bad?
Very good. Only good stuff. Okay.
I'm so angry. Are you better? No.
And then we shall ask the leader of the accounting authority of SA Tourism Board, Mr. Mabuza, to introduce their delegations as well before we start.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, we are once again most grateful for the support that you provide to the department, Chairperson. Now that SAT would be doing the presentation on their midterm performance, we thought, Chairperson, we should come and provide support to them. But I do know that Chairperson, yourself and your committee are very much committed to providing support to the department and Sarafian Tourism in the implementation of the strategy. Chairperson, we on our side from the department accompanied here by the COO, Mr. Derek Van Skalvig on my left, and next to him is Anne Malan. She's the chief director responsible for the policy and research in the department. Then we have Ralph Ackman, who's our CFO. Next to Ralph, we have Trevor Bloom, who's the communication chief director in the department. Then we have Nomza Mopeng, which is the chief director responsible for performance management in the department. Thank you very much, Chair.
It's my pleasure.
Excuse me, Chairperson. I just forgot we have Mr. Peters here, who's also the chief director in the department. He's responsible for monitoring evaluation of the stakeholders, essentially dealing with the feedback from the tourists and so on. And next to him, we have Byron, who's also coming from is responsible for the social responsibility project that we are implementing as a director there. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Mr. Mokubela, over to you, Mr. Mabuza.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We are also very grateful for the opportunity to come and share with the committee and the honorable members the work we do. And we thank you for your continued support and interest in the work that we're doing. We here to present the 2009-2010 report and give an update on where we are for the 6 months ended September, reflecting on a bit of a mixed time, most of our core markets have been going through very difficult recessionary periods, but very proud and grateful to come and share with you that notwithstanding that global travel and tourism has declined, we in South African tourism have continued to grow, growing from markets like China, India, and in Africa. And also it is this opportunity we want to share with you some of the challenges that face us as we go forward, and also how we can leverage on the good success of having launched South Africa to the world through the FIFA World Cup, which presents opportunities, and a lot is expected of us, given that a lot the country has put a lot in that endeavor. So, Chairperson, I have the team here, Thandiwe January, the Chief Executive. Next to Thandiwe, there's Bulane Baloyi, and there's Roshini, our CMO here, Roshini Singh. Tembi Gunene, heading our grading council, and Johan van der Waal, who's our CFO. And Tandy and the team will all be participating in this Tom and Jerry song, all adding to this one presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, my pleasure, Mr. Mabuza. First, perhaps let us thank the South African tourism for its role it played in the 2010 FIFA World Cup. I think you played no small part, and we thank you very much for enhancing the reputation of South Africa and enhancing us as a destination for tourism, amongst other destinations, for improving our position in the world market that has not gone unnoticed. We also congratulate you on a number of awards that you have won, and we recognize that you are doing well as a team, without singling anybody out, but as a team. Having said that, our role is not to be praising us, but our task is oversight. So we shall duly do our task of oversight, and we, in this environment, that is a multi-stakeholder environment, and where you have government, the private sector, and the global markets, and support from different. You need support from different departments over which you do not have control. So we shall evaluate you on the basis of the estimated national expenditure, your strategic plan, the METF, your budget, the outputs, outcomes, where they are. And let us commend you also on your internal controls. The audit committee has met as it ought to have met according to the PFMA. And we see that from the chairman's report that this is the year of growth and consolidation, given the legacy of the 2010 World Cup. We think that is possible, but it depends on how we perform as a nation. You are our soldiers. We depend on you on the marketing front. We have seen that in line with our international relations, you are consolidating South-South relations by having Brazil, India, and China among the targets for your market. We report of the chairman, we are expanding marketing in Africa as well, Nigeria, Angola, and other countries. And I support the but from what I read, I could not see any mention of domestic markets in the chairperson's report. There could be good reasons for that, but we believe that the domestic market is important. We have seen that the new trading criteria, and in as far as corporate governance is concerned, we commend you on the importance that you attach to this, and the order, and then that is in your words, sustainable to have sustainable confidence, because that is what keeps many organizations going, confident of stakeholders, and amongst those stakeholders being the people that work for the organization. The statement of values, we've noticed that you are aligned to the King 3 Code of Conduct, the PFMA, and then you attach great importance to communication, which we believe is a foundation for a good organization as well. The issue of managing conflicts of interest, which you may take for granted, but is a problem in a number of departments in government. On your financials, we've gone through your financials, and we have noted that according to the Auditor General, we have had 8 consecutive clean reports. That is even without points of emphasis. Even this year, we have a clean audit report, and we are saying well done. We have seen in your audit committee areas that you have gone through, including the comments of the Auditor General, and the state of organization, looking at different stakeholders, and at this time we are impressed with your progress. But that is in as far as the report is concerned. The task of the portfolio committee is to do oversight, and oversight is going to be according to facts and according to perceptions. Where it's perceptions, it is your responsibility to correct the perceptions. Sometimes people say that members are hard on departments, but the harder members are on departments, the more opportunity there is for the role of your spin doctors to deal with the situation and correct the perception, because quite often perceptions of members are perceptions of other stakeholders in the public, and your role is to make sure that you account well for your good efforts. And then over to you, Mr. Mabuza, as the accounting officer, as the leader of the accounting entity of South African Tourism.
Chairman, thank you very much. Thanks for those kind compliments. We ever so mindful that we have to cover the country. Sandy, where our CEO will lead the session.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Mabuza. Honourable members, I appreciate the opportunity. This is actually my first presentation to you as CEO, having been there for the past 8 months. And myself and my team have attempted to share with you as much as possible what we have achieved in the past year. We are aware, Chairman, just given your comments now, that 9 to 10, but we are going to extract a lot of what is contained within the annual report in the form of our presentation. I will do the introduction and the conclusion. My colleague Roshin will talk to the marketing issues. Johan will speak to the financial issues, and Tembi will speak to the grading council issues. And we will then jointly address any questions thereafter. I just want to begin by reminding us, you can move to the next one, ourselves of our mandate in terms of our vision and mission and values for South Africa to be the preferred tourist destination of the world in order to maximize the economic potential of tourism, our country and its people. In terms of our mission, again, I'm not sure, Chairman, are you going to, are you okay with that?
I don't know whether we will be it's fine.
Thanks. In terms of our mission to develop and implement a world-class international tourism marketing strategy, these I will just read out as they are, but as we go through, I will pick on the salient points. In pursuance of that, South African tourism will facilitate the strategic alignment of the provinces and industry in support of the global marketing of tourism in South Africa, to remove all obstacles to tourism growth, to grow the tourist-friendly nation, and to ensure that tourism benefits all South Africans. In terms of our values also, it's a constant reminder to ourselves that we unconditionally respect our organization's people, our assets and purpose, and living this respect with integrity translates into an authentic caring for South Africa and each other, a feeling of responsibility and acceptance of accountability for our outcomes and actions. And also, we do know, as shown throughout the World Cup, that it becomes very important as a tourist industry to be caring, even as we deal with the people whom we want to invite to our country. And our team hopes to continuously push the boundaries of excellence. We do have, as is probably known to all, 10 offices in 4 regions. Africa, this regional office, which operates from our office in Sandton, coordinating all marketing activities in East, West, SADC, and domestic marketing inside South Africa. Chairperson, I do note that you mentioned the non-mentioning of domestic tourism, but we actually do speak to it in our presentation. And we will later on in the presentation draw attention to what it is that we are doing in that arena, particularly because domestic tourism is indeed an area of great importance for us. And the more we interact with other countries, in fact, Brazil being a state question point, the lessons learned also because of the intense and very successful domestic tourism agenda that they have, which of course came out in our global competitiveness study. So South African tourism at the moment is planning to open an office in Angola following the completion of detailed research, which we are very much involved in. In fact, some of our staff, excuse me, members are in Angola as we speak. We are also looking funds and resources available, of course, at the opportunities presented in Nigeria, in the DRC, to mention but those. Asia and Australia, Australia, Japan, India, and China, I mean Asia and Australasia, I beg your pardon, and the United Kingdom and America, our presence there again in the United States and the UK, London and New York. In Europe, we have a presence, of course, in Germany, France, Netherlands, and Italy. At head office, we have 15 business units, which is mentioned there, the Office of the CEO, COO, which includes legal, internal, audit, admin. We have human resources. We have the Africa portfolio, including domestic. We have the Americas and Asia, Australasia portfolio. We have Europe and the United Kingdom. We have an events unit. We have business tourism. Central marketing, which includes global channel agency management. We have e-business. We have research. Public relations, communications, product and itineraries, finance, Grading Council and Business System. These are the units into which we've divided our work. Our next slide then draws attention to our process, really, of identifying those markets that we ultimately have to choose as priority, because unfortunately we cannot be everywhere as much as we like to. And so that accounts for our researched approach to presences around the world. So in essence, we adopt a fresh eyes approach by considering all the countries in the world initially and filtering them based on a set of objective attractiveness criteria. And what that slide really does, I won't go into the detail, but it speaks to us looking for those areas that are attractive, those that are important, those that come with volume and value. And we really use a particular system of working from the globe in totality to identify areas of engagement. The following slide then talks to the key steps of the portfolio review process. Again, you can see our first filtering there, where we look at the whole world. Then we, and Africa is constantly included in that process, of course. We look at, for example, the excluding markets with less than 4 million people living in urban areas and less than 20,000 arrivals. So these are just some of the criteria that we use to figure out where are we going to get value for money. We have the first filter, the second filter, the third filter, and then we move to our salient set and ultimately to our core tactical investment in watch list markets and the final portfolio, which we then present when asked how do we come to deciding where we play. And this continues to be a challenging conversation, Chairman, because as you probably know, when one is in our space, the question really of where we spend and what are the reasons for our spending is one that we continue to have to engage. And that is why we also always say in our conversations that we are not a stagnant organization. We are it's dynamic. And as external forces and objective realities speak to us, so we also, as an organization and with our board, re-look at where we are and why we need to expand from where we are if necessary. The results of the evaluation will finally illustrate the suggested markets, the core, the tactical, the investment, and watch list markets within each region. And fundamentally, the core markets are those which present the greatest opportunity for us. And as you can see in the slide, markets that deliver the bread and butter, as we put it, 50% of organizations' effort deployed against these markets, best capabilities allocated to these markets. And then we move to defining our investment markets, which are those where some investment is made for returns in the future. Investment in these markets ahead of return for the future. 20% of the organization's effort deployed against these markets. The third one, Chairperson, the tactical markets, are those markets which should be considered for specific tactical opportunities, often less attractive but easier. Markets where there are particular opportunities, low-hanging fruit, as we call it within SAP, and 50% of our organization's efforts are deployed against these markets. And finally, the less attractive and difficult markets, those that need to be watched for value segments, markets that are on our radar screen. Activity in these markets will only occur if there's a spare capacity in the organization, and 5% of our effort is deployed against these markets. We then go to show you the full portfolio review process that took place during July, August last year. And then, of course, the outcomes which will be implemented, which we started implementing in full effect from 1st of April 2011. You will see there, we've given you examples of the core markets, the investment markets, the tactical, the watch list, the strategic. And even within that, you will notice there has been movement. I mean, there was a time when Brazil was the tactical market, and it has moved moved up to be an investment market. We've got Angola, Botswana, Kenya, Nigeria, and of course South Africa as core. The United States still remains core. Australia, India is certainly a very important market. Then we have the European markets that have remained in that core area. The investment markets, the DRC and Mozambique in African terms, we see China also there playing a major role and increasingly becoming extremely important in terms of our work. Our tactical markets remain there, New Zealand, Lesotho, and Swaziland. The watch list the same. And then, of course, those of strategic importance, as you see, Bahrain, Oman, those and Ghana, Ethiopia, Tanzania, etc. But those are also markets that we have to constantly keep an eye on to see what opportunities lie. For example, the Middle East is another question that does come to our radar in terms of where are we there, how, when, what are our plans around that. Finally, we then, just to remind ourselves as to why we're here, the fact that we are funded, that we want to align our work to government agenda and linking government priorities to South African tourism priorities. Our strategic plan, knowing that government has set 5 key priorities for the next 5 years, including the creation of decent work, sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, food security, land reform, and the fight against crime and corruption. So our work has got of necessity to speak to government's key priority areas. And having converted this into government's medium-term strategic framework, which highlights 10 priorities and 12 outcomes, tourism falls under the economic sectors and employment cluster, and you will see that outcome 4, decent employment through inclusive economic growth, remains of importance to us in the sector because we then have to ask ourselves what is our contribution to job creation and decent employment. Those last two slides there, you will see our self-alignment with the department, the national department's targets for tourism development. I will not go through the details, but you will see the last two there, the increasing, of course, of our direct contribution to GDP remains central. But if you look at the last two, increasing the number of international arrivals from 9 million to 12, I think from 2008 to 2015 calendar year, remains the direct responsibility of South African tourism, and also increasing domestic tourists, coming back to the issue that you raised earlier, Chairperson, which our marketing director will also speak to more. Increasing domestic tourists from 13,483 in 2008 to 16 by 2050 calendar year, I believe is an achievable goal, which I'm sure we will be held to account for on an annual basis. And finally, the increase per tourist, I've done the first one, but the increase per tourist spend, which is also one of our key deliverables, so that we can keep our eye on what amount of money is being spent by tourists who are coming into the country. Our mandate key business objectives, and again, I'm going to reach the end of my presentation, but this part of it in any case. The mandate of South African tourism until the end of March 2010, sustainable GDP growth, job creation, redistribution, and transformation. And we were planned, this is our plan in terms of how we were going to achieve that between 2007 and 2010. Targeted arrivals, average tourist spend, preferred tourists, best tourism organization. And by focusing, and we continue even now post-March, to want to remind ourselves that we have to share our vision with our stakeholders constantly by engaging and communicating with our stakeholders, use the trade to grow our business, grow and nurture our staff, very important in any organization, improve brand traction in markets, our internal systems and communication, which you referred to earlier, Chairperson, and value extraction in terms of in South Africa from all tourists. Now, our tourism mandate and key business objectives and strategies now. and present speak, and these are in line with government outcome-based approach. We needed just to tighten our strategy for delivery. And here we speak about creating a thriving tourism sector by making South Africa a destination of choice. We want to make the South African brand a global player in portfolio markets, which will grow tourism's trended revenue to the economy by 1.5%. And then the strategy is really to invest only in selected markets to deliver volume and value. To convince consumers that South Africa can be trusted to deliver memorable experiences. And already the World Cup was a great opportunity for that, because the feedback that we did receive, and even now going forward, and I know I keep referring to Brazil, but they continue to speak to us about how they want to strengthen their relationship, because they have so much to learn from our experience and vice versa. Engaging stakeholders to deliver quality visit experience, reaffirming our brand promise, work the distribution channel, and energize and empower the organization to continue innovating and achieving excellence. Thank you, Chairperson. I will hand over to Roshin at this point.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. As the CEO said, I'm just going to go in a little bit more detail on what the performance has been over the past year. And after that, my colleagues will take over, and I will come back to Cynthia to talk about the last 6 months.
The first page is really a summary of everything that I have that follows it in a little bit more detail. So the big picture is that globally the world had a decline of 4% in arrivals in 2009, but luckily for us in South Africa we had a growth of 3.6%. And as our chairperson said, we really found the growth from countries such as India, which grew by 17.5%, China grew by 12.4%, and Africa as a whole, if we add up all the markets, grew by 5.7%. And that's really where South Africa got its growth from in 2009. However, in the domestic market, we were seriously affected by the financial crisis, because we had a decrease in 2009 on the total number of trips in the domestic market. We also found that people were tightening their spending, and total revenue also declined by 14%. However, the domestic market does provide real potential for growth, especially in the younger upcoming segments, and we want to agree with you that that should continue to be a target and a focus for us as we go forward and we build a sustainable tourism industry. During this year, I know we're not talking about it, but what we're looking at doing is protecting the leadership that we have internationally in terms of wildlife and adventure, but what we're looking at building is around welcoming people, because a key asset that we can leverage off in this country is the diversity and the vibrancy of South Africa's people. So a lot of our work is really based on how we sell the people of South Africa, and I think we all saw that in the World Cup. It was actually the key asset that we had as a destination, and that's what made it so special for the country. And as we said, while our core markets, which the CEO spoke about, still deliver our bread and butter, we obviously will be expanding in other markets such as China, India, Brazil, and African air markets like Angola, DRC, where there is a better potential for growth. So you will notice in the way that we, when we show you the financials, that we're actually looking at reducing our investment in the traditional core markets and increasing it in the growth markets. We all know that the World Cup, as the Portfolio Committee Chair said, has created immense goodwill and positive brand reputation for South Africa, and it has led to a more receptive world. So our big job afterwards is to try and convert this awareness and this goodwill towards the country into actual arrivals, because we've got to make sure that we actually get people now to come back here and to come here if they saw us on TV. Our message content is going to be very much the rich experiences of people, place, and culture. That's what the message of the brand South Africa is, with welcome being a chief component of the message content, so that we entrench our reputation as a friendly, welcoming destination. Now, also just a quick summary of the last 6 months. We have arrival figures up to July this year, and we're happy to report that we've also had growth this year of 13.3%, obviously driven mainly from the World Cup. And we'll see later when we go through that, but that's just a highlight slide, that at the end of July we reached 6.3 million visitors, and there was growth in all markets this year on arrival. I'm not going to go through this one in great detail, but it's in the annual report. This is all the key performance indicators that we have as a company, and of these, there are about eight that we didn't meet in total. Most of them, the targets were met, and the ones that we didn't meet in total, we have put in an explanation for them. For example, the one about increase the total visitors at Indaba by 3%, we have a slight decline in visitors, but you're talking about a number of 12,100 instead of 12,200 people. So it's in terms of the targets, these were some of the points that were not quite reached. So that's in the report, and I've just taken this actually out of the report to put it up here on the slide, where also some of the targets were not meant were, for example, where we had to get all the provinces involved in something, and we managed to get three and not the four that we had expected to get. So, there, as I said, there are about 8 to 10 of the targets that were not 100% met, but they were all between 50 to 80% met in that case of those. If it's okay that I then move on. So, coming back to our high-level objectives, objective one was achieving the total arrivals. We've already given you the figure that we had a 3.6% increase, and you will see that we exceeded our own target. Our target was 9.8 million, and what we actually achieved was 9.9. In terms of domestic tourism, as I said to you, we had a decline, and those red arrows there are pointing to the areas of decline on the number of trips as well as on the spend. So the 30.3 million is total number of trips in the domestic market, and 22.4 billion is the spend. However, I need to say something here, it's not on my slide, that there were actually more people that traveled domestically. There were 15 million people that traveled, up from 14 million the year before. They just took less number of trips for the year. The next objective is achieved as we spend. We prefer to work on per person spend in South Africa because we're talking here about what people spend when they are in the country rather than before they come here. And on this one, we just managed to exceed the target. Our target was 8,300 and we got 8,400 rand per person when we added all up. Please note that this amount of 79 billion does not include the domestic spend that's there of 22.4 billion. So when you add the two of them up, you do reach your target. This just shows you on this slide how the arrivals made up, so where did we get growth from? And this is the point that our chairperson made earlier. If you look at our core markets out of Europe and the Americas, you see that they were pretty flat, whereas you can see more growth out of Africa Air and Africa Land, with a bit more growth out of Asia and Australasia in total. In terms of spend, this also shows you, we're talking about all markets being the 8,400, and then we've divided it up into land markets and air markets so that we can see the difference. And the air market spend was slightly down from 13.8 to 13,000, and the land markets was up from 6.2 to 7.1. We also set targets for ourselves, not only on arrivals and spend, but we set targets on brands, because what we are selling as a marketing organization is knowledge of the brand and whether people have made the journey from awareness to conversion. So we have a curve which looks at how we're doing from the time that someone's aware of us to whether they're positive about us, do they seek information about us, and do they plan to visit, and finally, do they actually visit. So on the one side of the curve is the knowledge of South Africa, and we've got certain attributes that we use there. And on the middle, this is just explaining. The middle is the journey that they take towards visiting us. And the last one on the other side is how many people who go and are interested in visiting us actually do come. So if four people go into a travel agency to buy South Africa, how many buy us? And we want to reach a target of 1 in 2.9. So that's what we want. And we want to reach a target of 77% people aware, 40% positive, 26% sought information, and 14% plan to visit in order to reach the targets we set. So this is the global target, and this tells you at the bottom, 2009 actual, what did we get? Our awareness went up from 76% to 79% in 2009, which was a good increase on South Africa, and this is in total. The positivity went up from 37% to 38%, and people who sought information about us went down from 22% to 21%, and people who are likely to visit stayed the same at 11%. Now, we do this for every market, so we do have a slide that will show you every market and what did we manage to do. This slide just says that we also said we need to improve our global reach on TV, cinema, and online global marketing. And the target we had is that we wanted to reach 1 billion consumers. Obviously, this is cumulative, adding up to that. And what we did manage to do, and a lot of it is in the annual report, is that we reached 1.2 billion with 3,381 brand spots, 753 billboards, vignettes on TV, and 36.8 million online impressions. So this is just what the how you measure marketing, whether you're reaching people. In terms of the brand targets, as I said earlier, that we we built positivity in all major markets, notably in the USA and India. But we did see a slight decline in positivity in Germany, Japan, and Kenya in terms of how people see South Africa. I think that what we've always said is that there is a correlation between whether people are aware and positive about you as to whether they will visit the country. But we do find in a market like Kenya that we often see that they're not really that positive, but the arrivals continue to rise. So the correlation is not exact science. But we did find that this happened. Also, in all markets except Kenya, we've got an increase in people who are considering visiting South Africa in the short term. So those figures at the top there are telling you between 2005 to 2009, how are we doing in different markets. So if you look at a market like USA or France or Netherlands, you can see an increase in the number of people that are considering visiting us. At the top is our core markets, and at the bottom are what we includes core markets, but mainly markets where we do trade work. And if you look at a market like India, I mean, like China, you can see that it's gone up about 16% people that are considering in the short term visiting South Africa. But then the only one that declined was Kenya. Looking at our overseas markets, we also measure how do we fare in terms of our major competitors. Now, if you take our five main competitors in each market, where are we doing well? And these are the brand indicators that I spoke about earlier, starting with memorable, adventurous, natural wildlife experience, welcoming people you can interact with, a wide variety, breathtaking, enriching, unique, and authentic travel experience, value for money, safety, and security. I'm really just showing you this to show you that the big marks, X marks, are on welcoming people, value for money, safety and security. And the ones with the stars is where we do well, and in a market like Netherlands, we do well on almost everything. We've got big stars. In other markets, the dark color means that we're above average and we're doing well. But it's really for us to constantly say, and that's why I said earlier that our marketing is built on welcoming people, because we can't afford to do badly on that in terms of perception. After people visit South Africa, they feel differently about us. And I think they see us as being very welcoming, and we all want to be seen that way. But before they come, they don't. Again, if we just look at other aspects of the brand, I won't go through in too much detail, but it's things like the stature of our brand and the uniqueness of our brand, whether people will visit us in the future, and how familiar and how suitable we seem to them. And this is in relation to 10 other competitors. Where do we fare? We've also seen positive growth between 2006-2009 on a number of areas around the brand journey, starting from awareness to the closure ratio. At the bottom there, it tells you how well we're doing on people actually coming to visit. But we also can see slight declines in some of the markets. These are our investment markets, the same kind of picture. We had a slight drop in the closure ratio. Okay. Our objective 4 was that we wanted to be the best tourism organization by 2010, and we said we would measure this by the awards that we received, but also that the destination received. And we thank you, Chairperson, and the committee for the motion of confidence that we've heard about in the assembly and the awards that were won by the destination. And we also measure ourselves on the best company to work for. So this is just a list, and it's again in the annual report, the list of various awards that have been won. There are some that are specifically for South African Tourism as an organization, and others that are for various offerings and products in the country, which we keep an eye on as well to make sure that we're part of it. And it's nice to see awards coming up in terms of sustainability and areas that are more important now with tourism moving forward. I think at this point I'm going to ask our CFO, can I drive for you?
Thank you. Jay, I'll start on slide 40, 42. As you have mentioned, Chairperson, we've managed to achieve our 9th Clean Audit Report during the 2019 financial year. If we look at the highlights of our annual financial statement, our total expenditure increased by 17% over 2008-09. It went up to 849 million rand. It left a net surplus of 13 million rand for the year, which really entirely relates to capital items and intangible assets, which we couldn't expense. And on the intangible assets, it's largely website expenditure. If we look at our total funding, 80.7% came from government. We also generated other revenue of 167 million rand, of which the largest portion came from voluntary tourism levies, which is paid over to us by the TBCSA. We also received interest, and we sold exhibition space. We did training, and we sold some marketing items and advertising space in some of our publications. On the next slide, I think the only two relevant points to make here really is that 40% of our total cost on property, plant, and equipment was really related to furniture and fittings at our head office and at some of our overseas offices, where we try to follow a program of continue to renew so that we reflect the brand that we sell. On our intangible assets, 99% of the expenditure related to website cost. Where it's really important to deliver a funky product that would appeal to the potential tourists. On our cash and cash equivalents, it increased by 38% up to 224 million rand. I can maybe just mention there that we received a 52 million rand payment from Tomsa levies during February, which was really too late to spend. We need approximately 6 months to plan and properly roll out the marketing project. So obviously that amount will be spent in the 2010-11 financial year. On the next slide, I think the only relevant point really to make is that if we look at our accumulated surplus, it stood at at 68 million rand at the end of the 2019 financial year, and it related entirely to tangible and non-tangible assets, which we obviously couldn't expense in our income statement. So in summary, on the 2019 financial year, we are pretty proud of the 19 audit report. For the ninth financial year in a row, we've spent 100% of our budget. And I also think the return on investment for government has been there. If we look at the two main areas, on the 850 million rand we spent during the 19th financial year, there was direct spend from international and domestic tourists in the economy of more than 100 billion, and the total direct and indirect jobs created is around 1 million. I will now hand over to Tembi, who will speak on the Grading Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, honourable members. From the Grading Council's perspective for the year under review, next slide, please. I just set up this slide to show at a glance the growth of the Grading Council over the years. If you look at where we started in 2002 with only 986 properties that applied for grading, to where we sit now in terms of the budget, where we are expecting to meet a total of 8,288 establishments. What is important to note here, honourable members, is the work of the awards committee members, which is a monthly meeting, which has increased from an average of only viewing 82 properties a month to viewing almost 700 properties every month. So our work is increasing, and with our view of increasing the number of graded establishments, that amount of properties increases on a monthly basis. Next slide, please. These are the stats across the provinces and across the different categories. And at the end of July, unfortunately, due to our change in the new IT system and a few other unavoidable factors, the latest stats are not available. But from the last meeting when I was here, the focus was on the provinces that have the least number of graded establishments. If you look at the Western Cape, where we're sitting with over 2,600 properties that are graded, the next one being being GP, where we're sitting with 1,466 properties that are graded. The least performance on that list is basically the Northwest with, the Northern Cape at 287 properties, although we do know that there's lots more establishments that are in operation, but because, again, of the vast differences, distances in the Northern Cape, it's a bit difficult to cover all the areas. But there has been a marginal increase since the last, from the previous month, 3 months. Next slide. This just shows you the summary of the rules. You will note that Gauteng, although they have a less number of establishments, they have the majority in terms of the rooms that are graded, sitting at 27,269, and Western Cape sitting at 26,900. So this just shows you the number of graded rooms per province, in totaling over 100,000 across the country. Next slide, please. So in terms of our key marketing strategies, our vision as a grading council remains, it was tweaked a little bit following our strategic planning. And our vision now reads, we need to establish a recognizable, credible, and globally benchmark system of quality assurance for accommodation and MEES. MEES here stands for meetings, exhibitions, and special events. Experiences, which can be relied upon by visitors when making their choice of establishment. We've identified six key strategies which we are busy implementing, and everything is going according to plan. The first one being obviously to introduce grading criteria which are globally benchmarked and credible to not just the visitors but to the operators themselves. The second strategy being to improve the integrity of the grading process using our IT infrastructure, and we've gone very far in implementing that. simplifying the billing process and implementing an equitable fee structure, and I'll talk a little bit about that, explaining how we introduce this. To get the industry to obviously see value in continuing to participate in the grading system, to stop the illegal use of our stars and protecting the Grading Council brand, and then lastly, to improve the competency of our assessors as well as the integrity. Next slide, please. So in terms of improving the integrity of the grading system using IT infrastructure, a lot of work has gone into overhauling our current back office system and the grading process we use currently to grade properties. All is progressing according to the timelines. We went live on the 14th of October, and by Friday this week, all our assessors will be receiving this laptop. It's not actually a laptop, it's a tablet. It's a touch screen, whereby they will use it to walk around the establishment and grade the establishment online. So it also assists us in reducing opportunities whereby they can temper the scoring to perhaps increase the score to a higher scoring. And you remember the brief directly from the minister was to get rid of soft stars. He actually coined that term to say we must make sure that we get rid of soft stars that continue to compromise quality of South Africa in the eyes of the tourists. So we will be using this very advanced system, which is based on the UK system, but obviously customized to our South African environment. Next slide. I just want to introduce the new grading fee structure that we've had to dramatically introduce in the marketplace and make sure that everybody understands. Here, I'm just putting up an example of two guest houses. This one is a six-room guest house, so that one is not a six-room guest house. You can't just see because of the picture. This one is a five-star in the Franschhoek upmarket environment, and they charge 3,000 per person per night. Last year, their grading fee was 2,282. At the same time, a six-room establishment with a two-star, probably based in Florida, is charging 500 rand per person per night. Their grading fee was exactly the same. And obviously, that is where some of the inequitableness, is such a word, inequality came in, and we had to address that. Inequity, thank you, sir. That's where the inequity came in, and we had to address that. So we introduced the grading fee structure that takes into consideration not just your room, the number of rooms that you have, but also the star rating you apply for, as well as your rate that you charge. And hence, going forward, these guys here on the left, who operate largely on the upper end of the scale, their fees have gone up quite dramatically, with an average of 900 rand there. Whereas on the other end of the scale, they've gone up marginally. We have been on a roadshow since August this year. We've addressed quite a number of emotional people. You know, obviously, increasing rates by an average of 800 rand is not easy to sell. But once people understand where we are going and we're explaining the overall changes at the Tourism Grading Council, the majority of them are opting to remain with the system. At the same time, we need to make sure that we create a balancing act that we don't lose the brands that are well-known and are out there and are acting in some cases as icons for the country in the interest of making sure that we introduce the equity. So this has been a very challenging exercise, but we believe that we've gotten around to it, and people have now accepted the new grading fee structure that we've introduced. Thank you.
Chairperson, we are now going to go into the performance for the last 6 months, if that's okay. Performance for the last 6 months.
Okay, you can quickly run through that. Right. Our period was the annual report, the period of the annual report.
Oh, because your letter said that you were asking for the annual report and the last 6 months form. So I've been working very hard the last 3 weeks. Because we actually
But I think it's the exciting
part. This is the nice part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think the, so we can quickly run through that. Again, I've put in what we would normally give to the Auditor General and the Department from our 6 monthly report, but I've also got this in slides, so I can skip that and just go to the slides. We have arrival figures up to the end of July from StatsSA, and we are giving you the total visitors arrivals. So if we look at in terms of total visitors from North America, we had a 19% increase, 8.9% out of Europe, 24% out of Middle East, 33.9% increase out of Asia, 19.8% out of Australasia, 22.4% from the islands, and 9.7% up in Africa, and 152% up in Central and South America, which is the good news. In terms of global arrivals, now this slide means what did other countries get? Okay, so Africa as a whole had an increase of 7.4%, and you can see South Africa had an increase of 12.8%, just the period January to June, because the World Tourism Organization deals with a six-month calendar year. So between January to June, this is what the world looked like, and if we think that last year the world was looking like under 4%, this is a good picture for tourism worldwide, that there certainly is upward trend in tourism in the world. In terms of spend, we also found that we've had an increase in terms of spend from all our markets, with increases in Africa land, Americas, Asia, Australasia, and a decrease out of Europe and Africa. To give us total spend for the 6 months, this is in billions. And it's not per person, but in billions, what did we get total foreign direct spend from each of these markets? You can see that we largely led by Africa land in terms of spend and contribution to GDP. Then if you look at per person spend, you will see that we've only had an increase in per person spend on Africa land and also in decreases in air, Americas, Asia, and Europe. So, going back to the arrivals per region, what gave us the 13.3% increase between January and July? This is in terms of our regions and how they work. We can see that we've driven growth has come out of every single region, and it was obviously driven by the World Cup. And this is the picture if we look at total arrivals from the World Cup. So an 8.9% increase out of Europe, 29% Asia and Australasia, 41% out of America's, 9.6% on Africa land, and 15.4% Africa A. Most common length of stay, because we also look at what that is, and if we look at quarter 1 and quarter 2, 2009, compared to quarter 1 and quarter 2, 2010, it's largely remained flat, except for the Americas, where we had an increase in length of stay for the period January to June, because this quarter one and quarter two is referring to the calendar quarter. In terms of until April, we had a slide that just showed that it was also remaining flat. We are still in the process of studying the real impact of the 2010 FIFA World Cup, because we've done our own research on this. We will have it available in November. It's not yet available, but this is what we are doing. We're looking at a brand tracking exercise. We're also looking at departure surveys that we did during June and July at all the airports. And we want to look at what has been the impact on domestic tourism so that we can analyze that from a domestic survey. And we don't expect to have this before year end, but I'm sure we'll find a chance at some point to come and present to the committee. It would be nice to share with you what came out of that. But we all know what the newspapers look like, and it was wonderful on the 12th of July to see the headlines in across the world showing that South Africa did it, and the fact that as a country we're just a lot more bold about what we can host and what we can do. Also some of the newspaper articles about what's in store for the country, what's going to happen now, and the important thing though is that
we're saying this goodwill is not going to last forever. And immediately we can see already newspaper articles about, in the UK especially, that Britons are priced out of South Africa, that there's now the sounds of the labor strike for replacing the Vuvuzela. So, you know, we've got to deal at the public relations level with our reputation, because it's not something that we can expect to be there all the time. So the challenges that we've put here is that certainly there's a better global perception of South Africa and there's a more receptive world. In South Africa, we've certainly built national pride and through the World Cup, but we are feeling the pressure to sustain the momentum. There is still a global recession, and although there's an upward trend in global travel this year, we must understand it is based on the decline last year. And we've got to meet our arrival and revenue targets at a time when our key markets are in decline. So we have to make choices about how to manage the portals. I'm sorry, I didn't really do that. One of the things we're doing at a marketing level is during the World Cup, we hosted people from four countries, India, Nigeria, the UK, and the USA. And we got them to have an experience of South Africa. We then cut this into advertising material, into about like 30 episodes of each of their trips here. And we're using that in the global platforms that we currently have, like BBC and CNN and cinema ads, and it's of real people and the stories of real people. I think the portfolio committee did see some of this when we were at the Toronto Roadshow. You saw some of this. And if we look at the last 6 months and how we've been spending our advertising money as compared to our competitors, I thought it would be interesting for the portfolio committee to see that the Egyptian Tourism Board spends the most money on marketing tourism. And most of their money is spent on television, which is the light, lilac colors there. And if you look at us, though, we're number five. But this is just looking at us in terms of some of the competitors that we have. Our key competitors, we do sit at about number five, and most of our money is spent on the internet. So our global marketing is in terms of all the social media work that we do, the channels we have on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the Expedia, TripAdvisor, and the rest of the work that we've been doing online. But we do have television still going on. We're on radio, we outdoor, and we on print and cinema. So that's just comparing us to competitors. Most of the competitors, the tourism boards, had a higher share of voice, that's SLV, than airlines. And when we look at it overall, we're at about number 22, if we look at all tourism boards, with the top advertisers being India, Morocco, and Egypt. And most of the tourism boards seem to use television. And as I said earlier, in terms of our key competitors, we rank number 5 in terms of what we spend and what our share of voice is in the various countries where we market. This is the overview of global cinema. Up to the end of September 2010, we have been in cinema in all key markets that are mentioned there. And the one that was most successful for us actually in this period was the Invictus movie and the work that we did around Invictus. This is just the engagement we have in online and the numbers. We currently have about 1.1 million people that visit our site per month, and this is how much time they spend on the site, and we're having less of a bounce rate than we used to have. It's reduced now to 17%, which means that people don't just come on and leave. They actually go in and they go down and they spend time at least on about 4 pages of the website. That's the visit. This is the editorial coverage that we've had over the period. The value of our global and corporate editorial coverage, PR value, and the ROI on this one, which we use, is about 1 to 9, because corporate and global, we have about 24 million rands value on PR. And then editorial coverage over the period, per country. So if we look at all our countries, we can see that we've increased on PR value between 2009 and 2010 in most of the markets. Australia, China, with a slight decline in France, increase in Germany again, decline in India, increase in Italy. So we measure this, and when we put our report together, we have the articles that sit behind this number, with, so it tells us exactly what PRT we received. In terms of our finances, because it's just one slide, I'll cover it. By the end of August 2010, we had spent 81% of our budget for the 2010-11 financial year, so we didn't spend 100%, and the reason is that some of our projects have been slightly delayed. Also, because of the continued strength of the rand, we've actually made some forex profits, and we still need to allocate this to new projects that are coming up. The issue of the rand strength is something that we've glossed over, but it is mentioned in our report in a bit more detail, because it does make the country seem less value for money, and it is a problem that we've got to look at. Taking us into 2011-12, we essentially, as I said earlier, want to build on how we can build on the positive reputation we have. Many people don't realize that it took the United Kingdom 25 years to host cricket, rugby, and football World Cup. It took South Africa 15 years to achieve something like that. And so it's quite something for the country. We're going to continue to focus on our strong points, but also build the emotional connection with our brand, especially a strategy that will allow us to get people to connect with us in an emotional way, because that's what's going to bring them to convert them to come here, and not just build awareness in the global space. So we're going to move our advertising to more personalized, customized communication, which is mainly, but not only online, but other ways in which we can get people's involvement in the work that we do, and complement our work with a 360 brand communication strategy. So we will have a new idea that we'll be launching for the 2011-12 work. Our global media we're assessing, because a lot of our buys were before the World Cup, and it was linked to the fact that we were hosting the World Cup. We're now re-looking at how we can cover the opportunities in Africa, Asia, and South America with the media buy that we do. We're also looking at how e-marketing can form a bigger part. Point number four there is something new. The minister and the DG are driving the setting up of a national convention and events bureau so that we can enhance our national bidding capacity and delegate boosting. Some of the examples of meetings or conferences that they have already attracted. What we're building towards, the CEO mentioned earlier, that we have to get total foreign direct spend up to 169 billion by 2015, and this will include both domestic, just look at foreign spend. Our challenges, we've talked to the committee before about the fact that we have declined in terms of the number of arrivals that create one job in South Africa. The fact that spend has come down, some of the barriers to travel which remain value and safety and security, the risks that we face in tourism which are natural disasters and economic recession, the fact that transformation in the industry is still slow, although it's happening, in terms of positioning that our culture is undersold and underpackaged, it's something that we constantly work on. And the fact that we have oversupply in the tourism industry, which was driven by the World Cup, and we've got to meet the target so that people can come here and use it up. I've mentioned some of these. We've also given you an extract from our strategic plan until 2015-16. I know that this was not asked for, but it's just to show you the five-year planning on the budget. And I have mentioned earlier that we were reducing our budgets in some of the core markets that were the traditional markets and increasing it in other markets, and that just shows you over the years some of the increases that we've looked at and in our marketing expenses per region as well. Our current staff complement will be increased by 3 staff next year, because we're going to cater for the office in Angola that the CEO mentioned earlier. Otherwise, we won't be changing anything else on the staff complement. And we will continue to have our portfolio and where we will be spending our time. These are just general things that we've had to change to make sure that we in line with our audit reports. We've mentioned before that budget cuts to South African tourism are difficult to deal with because it means that we have to then look at where we close offices. But we have been seeing some weakening of the rand, which was part of the list to us. And then that's our targets for 2011-12 and the key KPIs.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we have reached the end of our presentation. And basically, just to say that at a personal level and as a group, we are committed really to delivering on the promises that we've made. And it is also a great opportunity for us to share with you what we've been doing in the past 6 months and our annual report, and continue to want to raise the profile of tourism really within government and continue the battle for more funds, especially post 2010. But I think the communication that is taking place between ourselves and the department and our stakeholders at provincial and private sector level is very important for the success of our work, generally speaking. So our partnerships and the strengthening of our relationship with TBCSA has also yielded results in many ways in the past 6 weeks. We continue to defend our core markets, like Rashin pointed out, and we do and are continuously looking at Brazil, India, Angola, Nigeria, and the DRC to offer quick wins in terms of our growth and forward-looking strategy. Our watch list countries also, we're keeping an eye on. The Convention and Events Bureau, Roshin mentioned, and that is one area also that our board and the department are working closely with us on, linking that to sports bidding strategy and our relationship with the sports department. Staff development, internal communication remain a focus area for us, but our stakeholder, I believe, Chairperson, management at intra-government relationship level with various departments that have very close links to what it is that we're doing is, again, an area that I am committed to and ensuring that we keep those lines of communication open and get feedback wherever possible. Ultimately, it is about quality assurance and our visitor experience. The new grading criteria has been very useful for our work, and as EXCO, we continue to meet and find new ways of making SA tourism viable and growing in leaps and bounds. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, in fact, before we have a 5-minute comfort break and before I allow members to ask questions and their inputs, I think there are areas where we will need more explanation. For instance, a savings in 13.35 billion in capital expenditure, which essentially is an investment. Then, secondly, the accuracy of our statistics and the sources of our statistics. We have held a meeting about a week or so ago where a lot of doubts arose as a result of stats and having stats SA amongst the people that were giving it a presentation. Three, around the budget, what is the state of budget. funds we reach out for programs, given the necessity of activating and broadening our promotion strategies in quite a number of areas. There is also the issue of grading, particularly quality control of grading. How do we assure people that the grading that we give to some of these institutions is consistent with what we have on record and with what is actually on the ground? Then the issue of ad spend as well. Our ad spend mainly is on the internet. Why not on TV? Why do we differ from the other things, from our other competitors in this respect? Those would be the questions that are raising as a result of your presentation, and which we would like to get a clarification on. Accepting there is an urgent question, we shall have to break.
I've got two substantial questions, but also there was actually three questions on clarity. I don't know whether you want to include them all now. Take half a minute.
What is the question, Don?
Clarity, same as what
clarity.
You can do you raise them now or afterwards?
Okay, let us raise them now so that they can confer if they need, and then we take our 10 minutes.
Thanks, Joe. Then there were three. The first one was the same as yours. It looks as though we reverted to the old definition of a tourist again. Okay, this presentation talks again about 10 million tourists as opposed to the just over 7 million which Ms. Singh spoke to us about 3 weeks ago. So can we just be sure which definition we're using? The second one was a comment on some problems that were experienced because of the weakness of the rand, which I find surprising because the whole country is talking about how badly we did with the rand keeps on strengthening. So could that be clarified? And the last one was on that slide, which I found a bit confusing, about the number of typical nights spent in the country, and was flat except for the Americas, I think it was. And then at the end it said total and had 1 and 2. Now, I didn't really understand what the total was or what the figures signified. So those are my questions on clarity, but obviously I'd like to make some substantial comments and come back. Thanks.
Yes, except really just a short question on clarity. If it is not clarification, then let us deal with substance after a 10-minute break. Okay, thank you. We'll come back at about, at closer to 12. Okay then, ladies and gentlemen, and I do not know whether from the side of SAT they want to clarify some of those things before we continue, because sometimes we may just be engaged in unnecessary engagement.
thank you very much. Maybe the question of the steps and the whole issue around what we report and how we are now part of perpetuating a confusion may be the area we started. I think if you look at the various reports that we've been giving, if you track them from the year 2000, 2007 at least, which is in our 3-year cycle now, we've been looking at arrivals, visitor arrivals. So our targets over that period have been set on visitor arrivals. What has since happened in the last year or so, STEPSAE has gone into the internationally accepted definition of a tourist, where fundamentally the way they differentiate, they define a tourist is somebody who spends a night in market or in a country. We've been reporting people that have come into the country, whether they spend the night or not. We say if you cross a border and visit us, you are a visitor. Whether you come in the morning and leave in the afternoon, that's where part of the problem is started. What has happened, regrettably, and I think we've got to acknowledge this, as and when these definitions have been changing, we have been very remiss. We haven't been to the committee to come and explain this difference. And in the process, we might have even gotten our minister to continue on a particular line talking about certain targets that were set over time, and these targets were indeed based on arrivals. So when we do report, we can report on both, but the problem we're going to have is because our targets have been set on a rolling period over the next 3 or the next 5 years, we will have to go back and revise those targets. Otherwise, our reporting as actual versus the target that we set before these new definitions, they will be a bit out of sync. So that's where the problem is, and I don't pretend to have a solution to it, except to acknowledge. I think that we would need to go back and say, here is our new. Because if you take them statistically, if you start to define, use the tourist. As they would like us to, you'd have to take about 2 million out of our numbers. Now, it does seem a bit problematic for us to come and be 2 million shy on the one side, and on the other side, having not explained to you why we now have 2 million shy. So we're trying to maintain the integrity of how we've been reporting. But the new definition is really catching us up here. So that's the first point I wanted to make on the steps and the tourist definition. And as I said, I don't think I have an answer of how we can move forward, except to say we might have to go sit with the department and revise our own targets in terms of the new definition, so that we report consistently on one set of statistics. But then I can as well say now that 10 million we were all chasing would have to be revised down. Of course, we're now talking of a different number. And it's not only the portfolio committee, is actually, as I say, I know there's a flip that I hear the minister talks of the 10 million number. That 10 million number in the new definition won't be met. So either we say, fine, your new number is X, or you've got to continue to perpetuate this confusion, but find the time to explain. But there must be a time where we can draw a line and say, we now have enough history to can build new targets against which we can be measured going forward. So that's the first point.
Yeah, in fact, it was a number of conclusions because Steph FP says they can only confirm figures 5 years or so later, and they are having figures for 2005, and they are not having figures for 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, and so forth. So now we're all lost, but it was the DDG of tourism that attended the meeting who was there. But I think it needs dedication as well to adjust. It cannot just be adjusted by. I mean, it has got to be statistically accurate, and then if there is an adjustment, it has got to be done from the science of statistics. Otherwise, we are going to continue with this type of statistics. It's a pity I'm not having my notes on that meeting, but I think the federal minister wants to say something.
Thanks, Chair. I can assist. You see, let me have to start from the premise that, well, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for the committee. I happen to approve and admire the work that SA Tourism does. Now, I'm not a critic of SA Tourism. I've actually fought, as you know, Chair, for a very long time for an increased budget for SA Tourism. So that's not my motivation. My motivation simply is that there can't be two definitions out there. As long as there are two definitions out there, we're going to confuse ourselves. We're not going to know what you're really talking about, and it's going to be very much harder for us to do our work. Now, I mean, just during the tea break, I had an interchange, and we tried to talk about a few ideas with one of the officials at the back. And one of the things that came out of that is that there hasn't been a change in definition. Mr. Mavuza and I have just confirmed there has been a change in definition. And that's the problem we're having. The part that I do understand, I think that everybody understands, is that there is a difference, and I thank the official at the back for explaining this to me. She explained there's a difference between arrivals and tourist arrivals. So not everybody who arrives in the country and is measured as such, presumably by Home Affairs, is actually a tourist. And that's to understand, because there is a definition for a tourist, which we've known about for a long time, but it appears the stats that we've been getting didn't take that particular definition into account. And that's why we constantly hear about the 10 million tourist arrivals that we finally actually reach. Now, as Mr. Mabuza said, that's actually not true. There's 2 million less than that if we apply the definition, which apparently is the one that Ms. Singh told us about 2 weeks ago. Now, my question earlier was, what are these figures based on? Now, if Mrs. Singh's definition is the one we should be working on, which is actual tourist arrivals, right? Rather than just arrivals which may be day shoppers which you don't include, then I think half of what you've heard today is incorrect. And let me refer you to SA Tourism's own report, this one here, 2009-2010, which was only about a week or two ago, but this new definition or this recalculated amount was in fact from late last year. I mean, a year ago. If you look at page 10 of the report, it talks about the foreign tourist arrivals to South Africa, 67-2009. Does it say foreign arrivals, or just arrivals, it's foreign tourist arrivals. And that figure still has a 10 million for 2009, and it has very close to 10 million for 2008, where 3 weeks ago we heard that figure is actually 7.2. So we've got a 3 million tourist difference in the official report to what we've been told today. And that's our problem. We can't produce a report a year after the fact which actually quotes statistics that we ourselves as SA Tourism are saying are not correct. Now, that's why I don't know what I'm getting in this meeting. I don't know what to believe anymore because SA Tourism don't even produce reports with their own definition in mind. And I say that as someone who approves of the work they're doing generally, but on the stats, I want to see, and I suspect most of the committee is there as well.
I think in as far as this is concerned, let us work on a way forward. We cannot settle it here. And revisit our statistics together with SA and other relevant statistics holders, like Business South Africa, World Tourism Organization. They seem to differ always. But let us agree figure so as to be in a position to assess performance. I think if we agree on that, and then work something out, and then somehow come back to the committee and say, we are doing oversight. These are the figures that we are going to use now, and they are based on this and so forth and so forth. I think in that way we are going to reach this thing, agreement.
If I can just say that it's only to this committee and to the department that we give the visitor figures. Publicly, we only speak tourist figures. So if you go onto our website, if you look at anything we put out to the media, we are only talking tourist figures. So we have reached an agreement with the department and StatsSA that we will only talk tourist figures. The reason that we have to show you the visitor figures is because we have to tell you whether we're meeting our own targets or not. So I think you just need to understand that on a monthly basis, we are putting out tourist figures. Whatever we're dealing with on visitors is very internal, and it's based on where we have to report on compliance. But as the honourable member said, it is correct to talk tourist figures, and that's what we're talking. StatsSA is putting out tourist figures. We are putting out tourist figures. So is the department. It's only when we have to report on our targets that we brought you the visitor figures. And what we will do, in fact, from today, is show both the figures so that we can actually show them. Here's the tourist figures that's public. Here's the one that's dealing with our targets and what we can have to report to you on until we've sorted out the targets. But I thought I should just ensure there's no misconception here that we're putting out different figures. Nobody else sees these figures. It's very internal. And we consider the committee as part of the internal report that we have to do. But to the media, to our stakeholders, to the industry, to the provinces where we prepare reports quarterly, it's the figures of tourists, the same as StatsSA puts out. In fact, they put out the figures, we just analyze them. That's the figure that everyone sees, which will be the figure that probably at the end of this year will not be 10 million.
Okay, it's around integrity of information. Let us hear from the department.
Yes, thank you. Perhaps just to say that I think you've indicated the way forward. From the department side, we've already sent letters to the StatsSA and to the DG of Home Affairs, requesting a meeting that we can clarify and get agreement on definitions and how we're going to deal with this, because this problem is bigger than what we're discussing here. In the outcomes of government, we need to make sure that there's alignment of the type of targets we're putting in there. And I think the point that we made by the honourable members is applicable, because sometimes we talk tourists, sometimes we talk arrivals. But in fact, in some people's minds, we're talking the same thing. And I think we need to be clear on that. And that's what we would like to sort out with StatsSA and Home Affairs. So in already in that process. So SAT will be there, as well as TBCSA, in that sort of meeting that we will resolve, and I think then we can come back and report to the portfolio committee.
Yeah, it's three words, tourists, visitors, arrivals. Sometimes some people use them interchangeably. That is the problem. And we cannot do that. I don't think it's anybody's fault, but it is something we have to solve together. I mean, if we adopted the approach, I think we can overcome the problem, because there is a figure that we've got to use in order to measure what we are doing. If we do not have a figure, or if that figure is not having the necessary integrity, then but I do not know whether you have anything to say before we move on.
I accept that. I think that is a good way forward, and we must work together to achieve that. So we're all talking the same language. Can I just then ask for, on clarity then, on page 10 of the annual report, must I then take it that the title of that particular graph is wrong? It has to be wrong, because that's the least fallout we're going to have over the. Otherwise, we've been misled. And I don't think we've been misled. I think it's a genuine mistake. Must we change that to just foreign arrivals and delete the word tourists? Because it's misleading if you say one thing and then present the graph like that. Can I just be clarified? Is it a wrong caption on the graph on page 10?
Chair, I think for the purposes of this report and so that we can move forward, I think the insertion of the word tourist is the one that causes this, continue to cause the confusion. Because we were reporting on arrivals, we were setting our targets were relative to arrivals. Now, with tourists being given a new definition, it throws a wrong spin on this. So the report was meant, we were meaning to report on arrivals, as we've always reported. Midstream, there's a new definition of what a tourist is, which in this work that we're all going to do, we'll have to find a different target and come and ask for money to work and achieve those targets so that when we come and report, at least we all know what those targets are. We acknowledge the role of that SA as the supreme body in the country that gives statistics. So we're not going to try and debate their efficacy or ours. We accept that what they're going to say, this is the statistics that the country uses, we will use them. But for our report, I'm happy to say that tourist is causing the confusion. The numbers are right if we can remove the tourist in the report to top of arrivals, which is what we've always been reporting on.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, because surely there could be even a mathematical adjustment.
In fact, on that very page, that the narration just above the heading of the slide says arrivals to South Africa continue. So you're right. That's the throwing of that tourism. And if you go into page 11. Just above the bottom graph, it says foreign arrivals. So this tourist terminology for the purpose of the report, if we could just expunge that.
Chair, I mean, let us join our hands to try and harmonize the. Okay, let's continue.
I will let Johan talk about some of the savings from the CAPEX, and when he's on the floor, he can also talk about the budget. But perhaps another comment that we need to make for clarity. The honourable member asked this question of the strength of the rand is good, the strength of the rand is bad. The issue is that our costs being dollar-based in the various markets, our rent goes further. We get more dollars for our rent given the strength of the weakness of the dollar from our cost side. But the negative side of this is that we're selling a rent destination. Therefore, people coming to South Africa, which is our purpose, is to bring people to South Africa. Whilst it might be cheaper for us to go and market, but our wealth means nothing unless people can come here. The strength of the rand relative to their currency becomes a bit of a challenge. It projects our destination as less value for money as we would like us to be to be seen. So the strength of the rand makes South Africa expensive. The strength of the rand makes our costs, which are dollar-based, to be relatively cheaper. That is why we have these surpluses that your hand referred to. And lastly, Chair, Ntembi will talk about the grading. The comment on the ad spend and the TV spend. What we're basically showing in the graph, as can be seen in those graphs, we do spend on TV and all the other media. We have chosen a route that says we want to have more person-to-person interaction with our customers. We find that at times, even though we do spend money on TV, we do find that it's rather too much of a spray and pray. Whereas people that come onto your site, people that interact with you, you're talking to a person, you know this person relying on, I don't know how many people have seen the advert. Here is the person I'm talking to. So we have chosen that it's more, we can customize the solution by providing the service and the product to that customer on an internet and interactive and using those social media better than TV. So it's not that we don't spend you on TV, but we have chosen this particular path because we also can't try and outspend Australia and Egypt. So we're saying, how can we ensure that our rent can go that better with people that would definitely have an interest in coming to our destination? Johan, can you talk to the budget and your savings in CapEx?
Jefferson, thank you very much. I will just start off by just adding to what Mr. Mabuza said around the weakness of the rand. I think the thing that's important is that South African tourism's budget is consistently changed in line with whatever is happening in the world. We and our board are of the opinion that the current trend of emerging market currencies strengthening against the first world currencies is not a short-term trend. So what we have subsequently done is we have tweaked our business plan and budget going forward, in particular 11-12. So we will be spending a lot more of our resources on emerging market marketing activities compared to first world marketing activities. In terms of the budget, the question on the capital expenditure, the retained surplus of 30 million rand, the explanation for that is on page 157 in the annual report. We do give a breakdown of the 9.2 million rand that we spent in the 19 financial year on property, plant and equipment. As I previously indicated, most of that has been spent on furniture and fittings. And then on page 159, we elaborate on our expenditure on intangible assets. As I also pointed out, most of our expenditure there has been on website costs, and there's quite a bit of pressure on us, if I can put it like that, to compete with the websites of our competing destination marketing organizations, in particular Australians, and organizations from Thailand, for example, and Brazil. So it's very important that we have quite an innovative website and that the content on there is relevant and that it speaks to the experiences that we offer or that we market in South Africa. In terms of the budget, we have done the research and we know that Australia spends 0.6% of their GDP on tourism marketing. We also know that Brazil has been spending 0.7% of their GDP on marketing. Now, that compares to South Africa's 0.1% of GDP that's been spent on tourism marketing. So if we look at the current investment of government of under 700 million rand in tourism, which they contribute to our budget, we continue to make a case through the MTEF process for our budget to be increased to at least compete with our important competitors, again, the Australians and the people from Thailand and Brazil. But what is also important, I think, is for this committee to support us in engaging with the Financial Fiscal Committee here in Parliament, because that is the appropriate vehicle to basically have a two-tier approach in terms of gradually increasing South African tourism's marketing budget. From our own side, we continue to focus on overheads, that we don't spend more than 10% of our total budget on overheads. We also very much focus on how we invest in marketing activities and align that with the return that we receive on our expenditure across the world. So I think it's important that the pressure must always be on us to reduce overheads and to spend smart, but to gradually, through this two-tier process, aim at increasing our international marketing budget. Thank you.
questions, Mr. Chair, just to show a few slides that show pictures and really what is happening on the ground. And I just wanted to start out by indicating that the work of the transformation of the Grady Council to make sure that what is happening on the ground and what people experience when they visit an establishment is exactly what the clerk says. You know, it obviously started with the complaints that we got from not just the public, but graded establishments complaining about each other, as well as, of course, complaints from government officials such as ourselves when we use graded establishments. Just to give you an example of the inconsistencies, I think it would help if you can look at the screen, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In a given before the county municipal of traders, because we do have some questions, maybe we should deliver all those questions so that when officials get to answer, it will also answer our questions on this matter. Because I think we do have some questions on the office of traders.
Okay, you were asking that we defer it.
Because this is a long quality control. If you are going to pro chief with that, go to another guest house. Quite often you find that there is a big difference, but they are good voters. It's not that, you know, also to quote the brand name, but I was just trying to illustrate some well-established distinct establishments. Sometimes I think in the long run, it does not assist to be soft on new entrants to the industry, because it destroys the brand. This is the message, and quality control is important. I mean, if we understood it around that, that was the point, which then it defends.
Chair, maybe just on the, we'll come back when we deal with other grading-related issues. Just one question that was asked earlier for clarity was around the number of nights spent as to where does the crew come from. I think if members could go back to those pages 61 and 62 of the handout. Essentially, when we go on to page 62, where we're comparing quarter 1 and quarter 1, 2, 9, and 2, 2, 10,
slide of length of stay, what we were looking at was the percentage difference on the mode in terms of length of stay, not the average, because not counting the average, because the average gets stretched out. If you have some people coming for 20 days and some people coming for 2 days, then, you know, average doesn't make sense. But mode, it makes sense. Mode is a measure of how, you know, the incidence of stay. So the percentage change in terms of mode is two days. If I had to give you an average figure, I would say 7.8 days is the average length of stay that people stay. Okay? But if I say, if I add it up per region on slide 62, so I'm just going to find 61, per region, so if you look at how many days do people spend in the country, people from Africa Land spend 2 days in the country. Africa Air, it's gone down a bit. It used to be 7, and it's come down to 3 days. Americas was 6, and it's gone up to 7 days for the last 6 months, we're talking about. Asia and Australasia, it's about 5 days. That's the average number of days that people are spending. Europe, it's about 13 days. That's the average number. But the number of the percentage change in terms of the days that people are staying, we're saying, has remained flat at about 2 days in terms of the percentage change across the world.
But I guess the point is the average here, these two,
is not the average number of nights. It's a percentage change.
Because if you look at the bottom, I've got the word percentage change, because we're really looking at quarter one in 2009 and quarter one in 2010, and what's the percentage change. And sorry, this figure is until April 2010, because we haven't calculated it yet for the rest.
The confusion arises because the first five are numbers and the last one is a percentage. And you need to be a clairvoyant to know that. Without having an explanation. Okay, that could be a one. I think we've dealt with all the questions that were raised for clarity.
Okay. Other questions? First, Mr. Kwarai.
Sir, thank you very much. Let me gently welcome the behind me report from the South African Tourism. This is a very encouraging report. And take my personal concern about the offices of all major audit partners and entities. Since it is starting with the best atmosphere for all these department and entities to have the offices, I'm worried whether if the four people from the rural area can get the offices if they wanted to go there. Every time when we have the entities or department, they will talk about the offices in Sandton. It's nice and a nice place. Where you sometimes during our time when you can get into something where shocked, you say, hey, I may be killed because here's living only the people with money. I wonder if a poor person can move and try to get the office. It will be easy for the people to get that, but it's not my personal concern. The issue of the trade is, I really don't know how can we satisfy our people. Firstly, I personally went again back to Fitzberg. 2 months down the line, I was having a funeral in the suit. I had to go and check where can I sleep. I went to that hotel again, Fitzberg. I remember some stage you had the department at that hotel. We went there with the two committees, ourselves and the owner says, where that hotel was saying is a 3-star. And when you get into the hotel, you get something like a mukuku or what, I don't know. But to my mother, I was there. The situation was still there. When that issue can be upgraded and look at, it is still a question to me. In the issue of this trading, I'm always worried about the poor people who are living in rural communities because I'm not sure they actually understand this issue of the credits when they deal with the B&Bs, bed and breakfast. And also, during or before the World Cup, this promise from Arab saying people must go and upgrade their houses to be in a B&B so that they can get a slice of cake from the World Cup. There were a number of people who have upgraded their houses and their B&B so that they can be part and parcel of this cake. And unfortunately, because of that, the area being the we used to call it the township, I think they never even succeeded in to get the piece of cake. It's still a challenge. And I wanted to question the FAT about that. And we know, we hear that the FAT ambassador by the name of Mr. Lucas Khaled is an ambassador to the FAT. I'm worried about his role to this entity. In the World Cup, I tried to check where can I get this particular person. Because I believe he's an ambassador. But until now, really, I'm not sure the South African Tourism has succeeded to use Mr. Lucas Khaled as an ambassador to you. discussion of increasing the profile of the South African tourism. I don't want to question the department or the entity. Yes, we have to see that increasement, but is it going to also to happen or to affect the people in the rural area? I'm saying this here, I'm from the rural area, and I personally, as a member of this particular committee, I don't reap any advantage of this particular entity. I'm not sure about or I'm worried about a person who's not even belong to this particular committee having that opportunity to sit with you face to face and discuss and get your mandate, whether I was interviewing the people in the rural area. Those are my questions and my concerns. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. I think let us not really look at the question of address where the offices are, because there are a number of stakeholders they have to deal with. It's not only the rural because otherwise if we isolate the rural poor and their access to offices, we've got to look at the overall objectives of the organization. If we could, with your permission, comrade, then the next question, then Mamu Jobe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I must join my colleague here and yourself in complimenting the South African tourism people
we'll always expect you to pass, but however, congratulations. And this is how we would like to see it, actually it makes our work much easier, so much that it doesn't become easy to find those areas to question. But in spite of that, I think on page 141 of the annual report, and some were also in the report itself, you offer loans to your staff. It's not a big amount of money, it's very small actually, but my concern is that it is growing. It's much higher this year than it was last year. My question here is, why does it become necessary to offer loans to the staff? Are you not paying your staff well to the extent that they need loans from yourself? And also, is this something that we should encourage really, particularly for us people in South Africa? We are such consumers of materialistic things that if it becomes easy to get money, we are going to put our budgets in a difficult situation. I'm trying to say, if it is easy to get a loan, even if someone is receiving a reasonable salary, but because they know they can always get a loan, they find themselves later on in some difficulty with the account, their budget, and so on. I hope I'm making myself clear. My question is it really necessary? If it is necessary, is it because we are not paying our staff enough money to enable themselves to live a decent life? Now, secondly, I noticed we have heard that Angola and the DRC are becoming a potential market for tourism into South Africa. I'm just wondering, why is it not the the same, for instance, for such a populous country like Nigeria. Maybe you can explain to me why Nigeria has got a very large population, and Nigerians generally are quite rich, they can afford. Why are we not so much interested in making Nigeria also the same as countries like Angola and the DRC? The same thing with what I understand the problem with this other one, Zimbabwe. But for me, I understand that the trade between Zimbabwe and South Africa is quite substantial. Is it not possible, for instance, also to regard Zimbabwe as some potential market, particularly in terms of business tourism? I know about the problems in Zimbabwe. I know perhaps there are quite a number of risks, but for the future, it looks like things are getting better now in Zimbabwe. Could it also be one of such areas that we think there is potential for tourism from Zimbabwe? Thirdly, Chairperson, what extra effort is SAT going to make, for instance, to bring back the figures of the European market to the level where they were, or even exceed that? While we understand about the global financial crisis, but what extra effort are you putting to ensure that you get back your market there? Precisely because although they may not be such in such large numbers, but I think products from Europe are big spenders, which is also what we are interested in. Also, Chairperson, on the area of constraints in marketing South Africa, I think in one of the slides here, I think it's slide 83, you are putting them as challenges, all right? Let's call them challenges that are facing your marketing program. You say something about transformation is slow. Well, what does that really mean, that transformation in the sector is slow? Lastly, Chairperson, Slide 84 is about what we are really interested in as well, the question of domestic tourism. Point 2.1. You see, point 2 says provincial and local authority, tourism authorities, right? We are talking about the need to create a culture of more domestic travel, and that is the biggest contributor to sustainable businesses, and so on and so on. That's point 2.1. What exactly are we doing to ensure that that happens? What are we doing to ensure that that happens, what you are stating there in 2.1? Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, yes. Another thing I must say thank you very much for reminding us about the comparison, between the budgets that are spent by countries on the area of tourism. Because we have said this in our debate and so on, that we think that the budget for the Department of Tourism rather too small for the strategy that the department has, you see. And of course, so far, I don't think anyone has listened to us, particularly in the Treasury. But we can still continue to do that as the Portfolio Committee. In other words, I'm agreeing with you that the Portfolio Committee, we should insist on requesting and demanding, in fact, that the budget for the tourism industry big increase, precisely because so far the tourism industry is contributing to the GDP in the country, and it is contributing effectively as far as the figures are concerned, hoping that the figures are correct. And so I just want to say, yes, this comparison that we are spending 0.1% of our revenue for tourism. I think when you compare it with Brazil and Australia, it's really insignificant. I'm saying it gives us strength to continue the demand. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not echo the many attributes given to the department for their presentations. You have preempted it by showering them with a torrent of praises, so I will not reiterate. Thank you. Although the effort is recognized and admired. Chairperson, I have been partly covered, although not in as gross a manner as I would have loved to. You know, at the risk of sounding very predictable, because I always come up with this rural tourism and how the provinces, or how tourism in the rural areas has not been promoted. There doesn't seem to be obvious and aggressive address of the inequities that exist in the rural areas, whereas tourism is supposed to be one of the economic drivers in the country, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of effort. We are good in harnessing countries all over the place, but we don't seem to be equating the same effort to the local areas. We've got a lot of areas of pride, areas of culture, we've got areas of our of historic areas and so on, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of effort that is plowed into promoting rural tourism. And we are quite aware of the fact that the Department of Tourism is in fact an interdependent department. You can't have tourism if you don't have roads. But what effort has the department made in order to liaise with the other departments to make it happen even for the rural areas? I'm just mentioning roads as only one of the factors that are counterproductive to rural tourism. And the other matters have been covered, and I think I will end there in the interest of time. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I will appreciate what you said. It's really a pleasure to have these presentations where there's so many carefully thought out and cutting edge statistics. I think it's the sense, because it is the marketing arm and they're operating in a competitive environment for South Africa Incorporated. So it's very much business like competition. Maybe there's a lesson there. But thank you for that. It's always very stimulating to hear from the tourism and see these figures. If I could just ask one more question on the definition, but a different one this time. Do I take it then that the figures we've been getting today about average tourist spend, 11,400 or whatever it is, for many of the tourists seems to be a benchmark, is that now based on the definition of a tourist or an arrival? Just let me know. I presume you would interview tourists and get exit polls and things like that, and you would therefore exclude the arrivals, but it might be helpful just to clarify that. And then I was intrigued by the first contribution, Chairperson, about the number of tourists during the World Cup that may or may not have gone to the townships. As you will be aware, I did actually do my own survey throughout the entire World Cup period and interviewed a number of tourists. The interesting thing was the very first two people that I interviewed were from Newcastle in Australia, not KwaZulu-Natal, and they had spent the first couple of weeks in the country, actually in Soweto, to experience life as the majority of South Africans would experience life. And there were a couple of other people, and then the very last person I interviewed was a doctor from Damascus, originally in Syria, now is a doctor in Manchester. And when he came out for about a month, and he and his son also went to Soweto because he wanted his son to see how South Africans lived right across the board. So I think it's a good question that the Honourable Member asked. Second, my own experience is that there was some people taking up these opportunities. And I heard reports which the Honourable Shin also raised herself, although I don't think we've got a definitive answer yet because I don't think ethnic tourism yet has a stat. However, for example, a lot of places in Khayelitsha that were fully booked out. But I think maybe just to settle this debate, because it does come up time and time again in the committee, ethnic tourism might like to comment on the percentage take-up of B&B facilities in what has been referred to as townships, as opposed to B&B generally. And we can see whether that World Cup dividend was in fact evenly spread or not, which I think might be helpful in our deliberations going forward. My two points I'd like to make, Chair, are also in the form of questions. You know, it's always been difficult when you have a one-off event like the World Cup, which will come around to South Africa maybe every 60, 70 years, and then include it in the figures. Because there's a case to be leaving it out, and there's a case to be leaving it in. But in business parlance, if you had something like that in your financials, generally you would disclose it as an abnormal item or perhaps as an extraordinary item. And you disclose it as a separate figure in your financials. You recognize it, but you say, in effect, we're not expecting to have this every single year. Now, I mean, part of the problem with the presentation today, the figures, notwithstanding the definitional problem, is that they're all that would appear to include the World Cup. Now, if we're talking 383,000 to 287,000 people, I saw some figures recently that suggested it might have been even more, that's quite a big percentage of the total numbers, considering we're supposed to be getting arrival definition of about 800,000 a month, and we had maybe 400,000 in one hit. So what I really would like to see coming out of SA Tourism is figures with and without the World Cup tourists. Because let me actually see what the underlying trend is, rather than figures that may have been artificially inflated by a whole 400,000 or perhaps more. I mean, that actually would help us understand really what's going on. And then, allied to that, if I can just repeat my request from a previous meeting, and that is, at the end of the day, we really do need to know just what an impact this World Cup has had on our tourist figures. We still don't know that. I don't know how long it takes to get at least a reasonable estimate, but August, there wouldn't have been any World Cup tourists left in the country. That was a couple of months ago. September, I understand, only ended nearly 3 weeks ago. But I think the August and September figures, whenever they are available, whether they show a 6 to 10% increase or not, which is the figures we're hoping for as a boost to our country's prospects because of the World Cup, I mean, that to me is a statistic I really am waiting for with great anticipation. And the sooner SA Tourism can provide that to us so we can see where we're going, the better it will be. It may just be that there hasn't been an increase, but then the question then comes up, had there not been a World Cup, we would have had a decrease. So the World Cup has still added something to it. And I think those kind of statistics, that kind of analysis, whatever the overall trend might be, what is the boost that we're getting every month now because of the World Cup and because of the rebranding of our country, which everybody agrees was very successful, what can we quantify out of that? Because that's going to be enormously helpful to us when we try and bid for other big things like the Olympics, or maybe the next Rugby World Cup, whatever it might be. Because I'm all conscious of the fact that there's a lot of coverage and correspondence in the media about the cost of the stadium. And people are even going so far, and recently 6 out of 7 letters that were published in one particular day said the stadium should be pulled out. Now, you know, that may or may not be the right decision, but we can't really meaningfully engage with that unless you know what the World Cup actually did for us or not. So the sooner the better. And the last point is a point that the Honourable Njobi made. And I'm glad that Mr. van der Walt actually gave us another stat. We've always known that we spend half as much as Australia, but it turns out we spend 1/6 of the GDP as a percentage. So that's even a more compelling statistic. I would like to see SA Tourism be a little bit more proactive on it. I know they are a government department, they don't make policy, they have to work with the budget that they get. But it cries out for me for an analysis by SA Tourism which will inform this committee, this is what we could do if we had as much as Egypt, Australia, whatever those other countries were. I mean, I don't understand how Egypt spends more than South Africa. We are the wealthiest nation on the African continent. They've got the Nile River cruises and they've got the pyramids. And then what? I mean, there's not much more. This is a whole lot of desert. We've got so much and yet we spend less than Egypt. I don't understand why that is. And I'd really love SA Tourism to say that, like we were told at the Mega Summit by the British presenter, that for every £1 they spend on marketing their country, they get £4 back in terms of spend. It's a no-brainer, really. And yet we've cut our budget for SA Tourism just after we spent 43 billion rand on the World Cup nationally. So please could we ask SA Tourism to say to us, this is what we believe we should have. That's the additional amount that we would need over and above what you're already getting. But this is what we'll do in terms of tourist numbers. This is how we can increase tourist numbers if we have the budget we wanted. We can work out from there what the net effect will be to national product or GNP, and indeed what SARS will take back in terms of those numbers. We have got those stats. And then we can make a compelling case in Parliament and no doubt within the governing party for perhaps a better aligned or a more realistic amount of SA Tourism. I just think that's the point that's been made for a long time, but I don't really see an interaction from SA Tourism to equip us to make that argument. And I think instinctively we all feel, and it's interesting today hearing the cost-cutting party support for an increased budget, but I think we need the stats from them. I mean, they produced a marvelous amount of statistics for us today, but that's a statistic I don't see. I don't see plans and scenario planning or any kind of proposal coming through from SA Tourism to say, what it is they really would need, we can work out what the cost would be and the benefits. But through you, Chair, if that could be encouraged to do that, I think we can do a lot for them and for our country by definition.
Okay, coming to the questions, let us close questions now and allow for responses. But the issue of 2010, I think may affect and corrupt figures as we go forward if we are not careful, if it is not carefully managed. I think that was the point he was making. But in as much as it is good, if now you have a graph going this way, you may sort of have a lump if we do not factor it in the correct way. The issue of assessing the impact of the World Cup, the FA Tourism said that they should have a deadline later this year. They are going to come up with that information, and then we shall request that as soon as they have that information to supply the committee with the information. But it is not an issue then. So over to you.
Yeah, Chairman, there's a lot that can be said yet. I think just starting with the first question on the need for tourism to do something for rural development. I think we acknowledge and we recognize the Chair. But I also think it's worth acknowledging that all of our 9 provinces have got tourism development agencies. And more than that, most of the local authorities, some district authorities, have got tourism agencies of some sort. And just speaking for myself, at times it pains me to see how we all run around the world wasting these resources, very scarce resources, duplicating efforts in the various international exhibitions when there is a lot, and that's what we're trying to say in a tongue-in-cheek in that in the report, to say there is a lot that can be done for domestic tourism, and at the risk of sounding like we're saying the provincial and the local authorities need to stay at home, we're the ones that must travel all over the world. The point is, our mandate is
rural development, if provincial and local tourism authorities could also just do more in the space. The bedrock of every tourism endeavor is domestic tourism. So we agree with the need for rural development. A lot can be done by tourism, but maybe we could ask the honorable members to help us. As we try and say that to our sister organizations, agencies in the provincial and the local authorities, to focus more on those things that make these nine provinces different, as against all of us running to the ITP to all times South Africa, when we others could be, could have certain horses for different causes. The question of grading, and I'm just going to talk on a general sense. It's not for us to come and complain here, but just to illustrate the difficulty within which we operate. Grading in South Africa is voluntary. And looking at Tembi statistics to see that there was a time when we used to deal with 800, now we're dealing with 4,000, just under 5,000 establishments. I think given the voluntary nature of grading, I think we've done very well. But it is still that the product owners must want to do. So it's more a question for them of a chicken and an egg. What do we get if you grade us? Whilst it remains voluntary, not only from the point of view of contributing, just to have a star grading is a voluntary choice by the product owners, which is part of the problem. But yes, we acknowledge every tourist that gets a bad experience of a three-star, which is not similar to a three-star expectation, it affects those that are already being graded and say, you know what, if that's what three-star, I don't want to have any star. So those are challenges that we recognize, but I think fundamentally it's because of the voluntary nature that we subscribe to. Some of even as established hotel groups, some establishments are not graded. And I do emphasize, historically it's been because there were issues of standardization, there were issues of quality. So from South African Tourism and Grading Council's point, I think we have sorted out that question of standardization. Now is to try and get as many people onto the system, but it continues to be a challenge that it is voluntary. The World Cup, you would all recall that as we were bidding for the World Cup, one of the conditions was we must have the accommodation. You would recall earlier on there were a lot of controversy about we don't have enough room. And I think what Tembi has presented today to say we've got over 110,000 graded rooms. So we as South Africans did deliver the room for whatever the reason. They were not the occupancies that were expected. They were not the takers that were expected for whatever the reason. And they are many, and they range from with a long haul to recession from those markets. But the which is part of the difficulty in dealing with the statistics of what was the impact of the World Cup? So, Home Affairs on the one side have got their own method of arriving at statistics, saying these are the people that needed visas, so these are the people that came for the World Cup. When you consider the bulk of people that had to come are coming from countries that don't need visas to come to South Africa. So, there's a disconnect. So, what the Department of National Department of Tourism, working with states, working with everybody, they said, let's stop throwing out these various statistics that are confusing.
I mean, even the credit card companies, Visa has got its own statistics of how they were tracking credit card spends to determine the World Cup. Each local authority has got its own view of how many, what was the impact of the World Cup. So, Chair, I'm saying even though we're still setting ourselves a target, we are just but one that we also are scared of continuously creating the confusion by throwing statistics in this. In my own business, we do face this very issue of World Cup, unfortunately, happened to have been between the 11th of June and the 12th of July. There was never before that day and the day after. Now, for our own planning going forward, what are you planning? What are you going to plan your group there? With or without World Cup? World Cup has displaced. There are people that would not have traveled for business saying, I'm not traveling because of the World Cup. I don't think we have been in a position to evaluate that. So this whole question of statistics on the impact of the World Cup, I would love to believe we'll give you this by the end of the year, but I don't think we would, because there are just too many parties that would need to get involved in finally saying, here is the statistics. This was the impact. And the other point I wanted to make is, yes, there are people that spend money upgrading their PNBs, expecting the World Cup to bring in their wealth. But the numbers did not turn out to be the numbers we had expected. So I don't think we are in a position to with some confidence say this is the impact, and it will take time for us to analyze it. All what we do know, the World Cup has been a great billboard for our country. It has shown the country, it's shown its people, it has shown the hospitality and the hospitable nature of South Africans. So from a tourism point, it definitely is something that we can build on. But as we try and build on this, there is much that we would need, and we thank and appreciate the committee's support for our ever needs for more money. And sadly, in the methods in which we work, it's not what will you do so that I can give you money. Is this is what you have, what are you going to do with it? So this has been the challenge, and admittedly the country has got many other priorities and other pleasures. We appreciate that, but it is very gratifying to know that the committee recognizes that we need more and more resources. So we know at least the committee that has got oversight of the work we do understands that we're dealing with very, 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 very little resources. Johan, do you want to talk about the proactive nature? If we had so much, what would we do as against just saying we're doing this? We need to now start to map scenarios. I think the honorable member can only say we'll have to map scenarios to say, our 800 million, this is what we do. If this money was 1 billion, this is what we would do. If this was 1.5, this is what we'd do. If it becomes 7 or 6, this is what we'd have to do. So we've been spending most of our time being told we're going to cut you 50, 57, 50.7 the next year. And the consequence has been, if you cut us that much, the area we need to cut in, sadly, it's not in our overheads, it's not in our payroll, it's actually in our efforts, in our marketing. There is ever a need to recognize, though, that our core markets, Europe, they themselves aren't growing markets, just in their own. So people, the older they get, the less they travel. So our core markets are faced with those kind of challenges. So we need to defend and retain those positions, and also go and grow in the new ones, your Brazil, your China, your India. So we do have
quite difficult task, and there is no doubt in our minds that the committee appreciates and understands it. But we will do that. We will let the scenario say if we could have the magic wand and get more resources, this is what we could do and do even more. Why have I left that required specific answer?
I can just pick up a few. I think they've generally been answered, but just a specific one on Lucas Hadebe. We used him in the period leading up to the World Cup for about 6 months, and we used him in our international marketing. Like he worked really well in the UK for us. He got a lot of coverage when he was there, and we used him to go to Brazil with us, to the US, and also to Germany. So he was used as a media spokesperson in those areas, but he's no longer playing that role. It was really up to the World Cup. Of course, he's available as a South African and as a person we can use, but we have a specific time frame with him. In terms of the question on Nigeria, very critical. It's part of our core market. We were just saying there were new markets that are coming up, and you're correct. Nigeria has a lot of people with money, important to us. Zimbabwe also sits in our watchlist market, which means that we look for certain opportunities that we can work on with Zimbabwe. The issue on transformation, we just made a general point. You can get a more detailed report on that, I think, from the department, because the Tourism Empowerment Council does sit in the department, just to give you the stats on it. But, I mean, you know, it's a general point that the tourism industry in South Africa is transforming, but at a slower pace than maybe we would like to see, which would affect the questions that were raised by the other honourable members around the rural areas and how do we get more people involved in that. But it is something that is being addressed, looking at helping people set up businesses, look at not just B&Bs, but look at other ways in which they can contribute. And we see it a lot in the ITEA program, as we do the Emerging Entrepreneur of the Year Award, constantly saying to people, don't just set up a B&B. Do tour operating, work in other areas of tourism, conferencing, etc., where there's more business that will be coming your way. So we've seen some very successful projects in the Limpopo province, in Mpumalanga, that have come out of that, and in working with the Tourism Enterprise Program, which we promote as well.
And lastly, on the staff loan?
Yes, thank you. On the staff loans, South African Tourism's policy is to only employ South Africans as country managers overseas, unless extraordinary circumstances apply. So what we do is we have to find accommodation for such a country manager, and then we would advance the deposit of the accommodation, which is normally a deposit amount and 1 or 2 months rental in advance. So that would be included there. Then we also make two exceptions for staff loans in the organization. Education related, there's quite a component of that in there. And then obviously also family tragedies. That would explain the difference. There has been a difference during the financial year, an increase.
If it's fairly transparent, who receives money, where and when?
Chairperson, there is a clear process in the organization which our board approved. It is transparent. There is a formal process of applying. There's a formal process of evaluation, and the policy clearly stipulates the three scenarios in which the organization would approve or consider the staff loan for approval.
Thank you very much, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. We just do not have time. Just try and organize and ask the question to whoever is relevant. If perhaps you feel that we've got other questions to ask, let us then organize and thank you very much for a conversation.